for the Use of English Listening Test 1992. Introduction. You are a first-year university student attending the first class of a course in which students design their own projects. This class, a seminar, is divided into two parts, and as you listen, you will write the information you hear in the question answer book. Part 1. In this part, Professor Michael Stone will introduce the course, and you will hear the first student present a proposal for a project, and then the comments of Professor Stone and two other students on that proposal. You will now have 5 minutes to familiarize yourself with the headings for Part 1 before the class begins. The class is about to begin. You will only hear the presentation once.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Stone, Professor Stone, and I'd like to welcome you to the Department of Environmental Studies for this first meeting of the course Man and His Environment. I'm delighted that so many students have chosen to join us this year. As you probably know, Man and His Environment, as the course is called, is one of the new courses which the Department of Environmental Studies introduced for the first time last year. The general aim of the course is to promote a responsible and critical response to environmental issues. Now let me just read this aim to you once again, since it is important. Our aim is to promote a responsible and critical response to environmental issues. Big words, indeed. But what do they mean? Well, our main objectives are, first, to make students aware of environmental issues, and then to develop ideas of their own. Let me begin by giving you some details about how the course timetable is organized. We meet every Wednesday at 7:30 in the evening in this building. The lectures will be held here, in this room, which is known as the General Science Lecture Theatre. Next week's class is a lecture, so you should report to the General Science Lecture Theatre when you come next week. The tutorials, by the way, will be held in my office, which is room W305. There will be 9 meetings of the class altogether, including this introductory one. Of the 8 meetings which follow, 2 will be lectures given by me, and the rest of the 8 meetings will be tutorials in which students will present their work to the class. Now, the purpose of this first class is to explain the teaching arrangements to you and to discuss your proposals for course projects. Let me begin with the first of these, the teaching arrangements. I'll ask you for your proposals for course projects in a moment. As you probably know from reading the course brochure, the course is based on project work. You'll remember that I said that one of our objectives was to encourage you to develop your own ideas. Well, project work will give you an opportunity to do this. You'll be working in small groups of 2 or 3, and you'll investigate a topic in your study groups. The assignment, however, and I know you all want to know about the assignment, will be an individual project report rather than a group report. Okay? Now, you are asked to bring your ideas for projects with you today, and I'd like to ask you now to tell me the topic you'd like to work on. My own role throughout this course will be to listen to your ideas and to make some suggestions to help you carry out your study. It'll be interesting for you to listen to the details of the other students' projects. We'll move on now to our discussion of your project topics, and first of all, I'd like to explain to you the procedure we're going to follow. We'll deal with the topics like this. First, each student will present their topic to the whole class. Then, after we've heard the details of the student's proposal, other students, that's all of you, will have the opportunity to present their comments and suggestions. Finally, it'll be my turn to contribute, and I'll give you my own reaction to the project proposal. Fine. So, let's hear the first topic. Please introduce yourselves before you describe your topic.
My name is Steve Lee, and I'm interested in doing some work on the recycling of paper. A lot of people find it disgusting that we use so much paper nowadays and that we throw most of it away. But the reason I've chosen this topic is because I heard last week about a village which was flooded, and this was in South America, by the way, because all the trees in the area had been cut down. If they'd allowed the trees to grow naturally, the river wouldn't have flooded and the people wouldn't have drowned. Quite apart from local tragedies like this, there's a global problem to consider. Destroying the world's forests will lead to changes in climate, and these changes in climate will result in further ecological damage to our planet. So my solution to the problem is to recycle as much paper as possible. If we use the same paper again and again, fewer trees will die. And here's my plan for investigating the topic. I'd like to study one particular organization in Hong Kong, for instance, a bank, and observe how they use paper. I'd visit the bank for a week and note down all the uses of paper. I'm sure I'll find that they can replace most of the paper they use at present with recycled paper. Of course, I could be mistaken, but I feel quite confident about the results. Besides, I believe that large organizations have a duty to take a lead in introducing sensible uses of materials such as paper.
Thank you, Steve. Now, before I give my own reaction to your proposal, I'd like to invite comments from the other members of the class. Would anybody like to say something about Steve's proposed project? Yes? Please give me your name first.
I'm Mary So, and I think Steve should give up the idea of persuading commercial companies to use recycled paper. I really don't think he'll have much success in changing their business habits. Although I love trees and use recycled paper myself, my main reason for objecting is that it'll simply be too difficult to persuade companies to use it. Nowadays, they're all too interested in presentation and style. My own experience of a summer job with a company in Central last year made this clear to me. Well, one incident in particular, actually. One thing that shocked me about the company was the amount of paper they used. I spent most of my time photocopying documents, so I used paper all day. Well, one day I suggested to my boss that they should use recycled paper, and he just laughed at me. How can we expect to change attitudes like that? I agree that we should try to, but I don't think Steve has much chance.
Thank you. Any other views?
Tim Chan, I think Steve is going about his project the wrong way. My advice to him is to carry out the investigation in a public organization rather than in a commercial company. The reason for this is quite obvious. They are less interested in presentation and image, and therefore it'll be easier to persuade government organizations to change to recycled paper. I believe government organizations are much more likely to use recycled paper. And the next stage would be to force private companies to follow the government's lead. I'm very interested in this subject, and I believe very strongly that we should do something to stop big business wasting the world's valuable resources. Why should trees be allowed to die just so that companies can increase their profits? Steve's absolutely right to want to change the habits of commercial companies, but his approach needs to be more realistic.
Thank you, Tim. Now, does anybody else want to comment? No? Okay. Then let me present a few points. I'd like to divide my remarks into two sections. Let me comment first on the academic aspects of Steve's proposal. Then I'll say something more general about the topic. Steve, there's one thing about your proposal that worries me. You're basically interested in two different issues: saving trees and promoting recycled paper. These are two different aspects of this topic. Do you see what I mean? You don't necessarily save trees by recycling paper. Okay? Are you sure that an increase in the use of recycled paper will result in fewer trees being cut down? Basically, don't assume a direct link between the two. You mustn't assume a causal connection, and your study certainly won't show any causal connection. Now, on the positive side, you've obviously thought this through carefully. I like your method of investigation. It's both practical and manageable, and this is extremely important. So, how should you proceed with the topic now? Well, the answer is to focus on recycling, since you'll be in a position to investigate this properly, while, as I said, you won't be able to investigate deforestation in this project. Now, let's move on and consider some other aspects of deforestation and recycling. Steve's right, of course, in saying that many trees die every year. However, many of them die for a good reason. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are sometimes good reasons for cutting down trees. Basically, these reasons fall into three categories. Let me tell you what these are, and give you some examples. First, for simple economic reasons, for example, to provide jobs for the people. In some areas, the only natural resource is forest, so the local inhabitants depend on trees as a source of income. Secondly, there are social reasons. For example, trees are sometimes cut down to make room for recreation areas, playing fields, golf courses, and so on. The third category of reason may surprise you. We actually cut down trees for ecological reasons. In order to make forests grow successfully, we have to thin out the trees so that there's space for the remaining trees to grow to full size. I see lots of rather surprised faces in the room, but I hope you'll try to see the problem from different points of view. Now, you're all interested in reducing pollution, aren't you? Well, let's put the question this way. Is recycled paper good for the environment? Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen a paper recycling plant? I mean the places where the recycling takes place. Like other paper mills, they pollute the environment. It's a sad and ironic fact that the more we recycle, the more we pollute. Before we start replacing high-quality paper with recycled stuff, we need to be sure that paper is necessary at all. Organizations nowadays are more or less run by computers and messages are passed electronically. As far as environmentalists are concerned, they should encourage more electronic communication because this involves less use of paper and the whole process is pollution-free. Now, does anybody want to add anything at this stage? Yes, Steve.
I really think you're being a bit optimistic if you believe that using computers results in less paper being used. You only need to look inside a computer center here on the campus to see who uses paper. The floor is covered with computer printouts. People print out too many copies of the documents. They print out every single draft. And what about a computerized library catalog? When students look up the catalog for a book, they don't bother to note down the book's details from the screen. they send a signal to the printer, and the information on the screen gets printed out on a huge sheet of paper. I accept that computers can help us to communicate without paper, but in practice, they seem to encourage unnecessary printing and waste of paper.
Okay, Steve, computer users do sometimes waste paper, but in the long term, I think you'll find I'll be proved right. Let's take a short break before we hear another proposal.
That's the end of part one. You will now have 5 minutes to tidy up what you have written. Part 2. In this part, you will hear another student present a proposal. And again, you will hear the comments of other students and Professor Stone's comments. You will now have 3 minutes to familiarize yourself with the headings for Part 2.
Let's hear another proposal now. Yes?
I'm Amy Young, and I've chosen synthetic fur as my topic. Synthetic or artificial fur looks just like the natural fur we get from animals. I've chosen this topic because I've just become a member of an organization called Beauty Without Cruelty, which tries to prevent animals being killed to provide luxury articles. The organization wishes to attack the natural fur trade. You see, some of the world's animal species are being endangered by the beauty industry. Now, the way I'd like to approach the topic is this. I'd like to set up a small experiment. The experiment I'd like to conduct would be organized like this. I'll use some natural fur coats and some synthetic fur coats, and invite a number of people to look at them and try to tell which are real and which are artificial. I don't know how many fur coats I'll be able to borrow for my experiment, but I hope to get at least 3 or 4. I predict that most of the people won't be able to tell the difference between the 2 types of fur. If most people can't tell the difference, it'll be easy to persuade them to buy synthetic fur, and more people will give up buying real fur coats.
Thank you, Amy. I know that this is a highly emotive issue, and many people feel very strongly on the subject of fur coats. Now, let's hear what the other students think of your idea. Yes.
My name's Mandy Choi. It's an excellent topic. I'd like to suggest to Amy that she should include makeup in her study as well as clothing. For example, she could ask women to compare different cosmetic products, some tested on animals and some not. I think we need to make women more aware of the cruelty involved in using animals for testing makeup. The problem at the moment is that women just don't know which products were tested on animals, and this information isn't made available by the manufacturers. I've just been watching an interesting TV series about the way cosmetic companies conduct very cruel experiments on animals when testing their new products. The TV series opened my eyes to this problem, and I'd like to see some action taken.
Thank you. Any other views? Yes? Ah, it's Mary So again.
I'd like to suggest to Amy that she abandon this topic altogether and choose something else for her project. I've been thinking a lot about synthetic furs recently, and I think I know what I'm talking about. Synthetic furs are like all synthetic materials. You can't get rid of them, and they create new ecological problems. It's obvious that the more synthetic materials we produce, the more we damage the environment. Let me just tell you why I'm so interested in this issue. My sister was given one of those synthetic fur coats last Christmas, and it could have caused her a nasty injury. She left it to dry in front of the fire, and it started to melt. If she had been wearing it, she would have been badly burned. Also, the burning material produced poisonous fumes. Synthetic materials are dangerous.
Thank you very much. This topic seems to have touched a few nerves. Let me make some comments about Amy's proposal first, and then we can look at the topic more widely. I take Mary's point about synthetic furs contributing to environmental problems. You really have taken a very negative line on both the proposals we've heard so far, haven't you, Mary? But I still consider that Amy's topic is worth pursuing as a course project. You've suggested setting up what might be an interesting experiment. However, there are two aspects of your experimental design which could be improved. The first concerns the people who will take part in your experiment, what we usually call the subjects of the experiment. You need to take care when choosing your subjects and make sure that you have clear categories. For example, you should categorize the subjects into separate groups, such as middle-aged women, young women, housewives, professionals, etc. My second suggestion for improving the experiment concerns the number of subjects you include. I recommend that you have a minimum of 30 subjects in each of your categories. Obviously, you can't include the whole world in your experiment, but at the same time, you need enough people to allow you to generalize about the groups you're investigating, so try to get at least 30 in each category. As a third point, I suggest you investigate people's attitudes. After the experiment, you could ask your subjects to complete a questionnaire on their feelings about real and artificial fur. Now I'd also like to say something about the way you organize the experiment. You should set it up
in such a way that only one woman at a time is allowed into the room with the coats. I know that this may slow things down, but if the women are allowed to talk during the experiment, they'll influence one another's opinions about the coats. You should remember that a good experiment has to have reliable results, and if the subjects talk to one another and change their minds during the experiment, your results will be unreliable. You understand? Now, let's think about some other aspects of the topic in general. The whole question of exploiting animals is complex, and I'd like to identify three key issues which I believe are central. Killing animals to provide humans with luxury goods sounds immoral and shocks many people. However, we need to be able to control the population of wild animals, not just for our own good, but also for the good of the animals. For example, some animals are killed in a controlled way as part of a program which ensures that they'll continue to breed and survive. These programs are worked out by governments and are agreed on an international basis. So, my first point is that it's important that we develop responsible methods of controlling the population of animals. Secondly, we need to remember that most animals die as a result of the changing environment, or they are killed by other animals. Also, we kill large numbers of animals to provide ourselves with food, and few people object to that. So my point is that the actual proportion of animals that die because humans want them for producing luxury goods is very small. My third point is this. So-called luxury goods aren't as rare as you might think. It's not only very rich people who buy clothes made of animals. Just look around this room. I can see at least 4 leather jackets, and there must be at least 20 pairs of leather shoes. What I'm saying is that ordinary people buy products made from animals, and these have become an essential part of our lives. So we must be careful not to let our dislike of fur coats, or should I say, of people who wear fur coats, make us want to stop killing animals altogether. Obviously, Amy's project isn't going to solve the problem of animal exploitation, but it'll probably produce some interesting information about synthetic materials. First, whether people really can tell the difference, and second, whether people think that synthetic materials are attractive, or whether they have a strong preference for natural products. I'm glad that the topics you've presented today have provoked such an interesting exchange of views, and I look forward to reading your completed projects later in the term.
That's the end of the class. You will now have 10 minutes to tidy up your notes. That's the end of the test. Stop writing now and put down your pencil. Close your question-answer book and leave it on the desk in front of you for the invigilator to collect.